for those who have not met me yet, and I am from Nigeria. And it happens that I came from the state that is suffering or passing through persecution now at this time. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Yes, I will. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you. We bless your name. We worship you. Thank you for the opportunity given to each one of us to have time to come to your presence to worship you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We ask, even as we continue, I pray that you will lead us. I have nothing on my own, for you are people that are seated before you. I ask that you use me as a vessel and you speak to your congregation. We will all go back home fully filled and excited with great blessings. Thank you, because you will do it. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to start with giving you a little bit of what is happening in my hometown. About 3 weeks ago, I sent in a mail to as many that as I have their email address, asking them to pray for my people, to uphold them in this tough time and tough situation. Up to this moment that I am standing before you, we have no records of how many people were killed during the incidents, because there is no one in the town now to ascertain the number of people that died. And so the dead are still laying there, some on the street, some in their houses, some in the bush. So that's the situation. As I was talking with my wife yesterday, the one who was like the regional leading pastor came to my house 2 days ago to tell my wife about his experience and how God helped him to escape the incidents. But it was pathetic. And one great thing that affected our people was that they were relying on the military, not knowing that the commanders who were commanding the military were all Muslims. And so when the Boko Haram came advanced, they did not give the order for the military to shoot or to defend. And how many of you have served in the military here? I have never served in the military, so I don't know the rule. How many of you have served in the military here? Oh, yes. So, let me ask a question. If you don't receive a command from your commander, you are not allowed to shoot? Is that how it operates? Huh? Usually. So, that was what happened. They have enough weapons that would have finished the end of the matter, but they were not allowed to shoot. So, what some of them did was to pull off their uniform and throw it away and run away. Because they were not given the signal or the command to shoot. And that was how the people were massacred mercilessly. That's one point. The second one, they were going after men, male in their oppression. Women were taken as their sex slaves. So they captured a lot of women. And what they do, according to one whom God let her escape to be probably as a testimony and a witness. She saw it, but somehow God let her out of the whole thing and she escaped. Each one captured, they will give them human blood to drink. And once they force that person to drink the blood, then that changes the whole story. The person by himself will walk to them and request for the gun so that he or she can go and kill another person. So that's another way they operate. So that had been the situation. And they took over the town. And they had been there only 2 days ago. Local hunters mobilized themselves and came and faced them. Then the military were following from behind. It looks like a drama, sort of. Very pathetic, very shameful. But this is the situation now. They are still out there. They have not returned home. Some are still in the caves, because my hometown is surrounded by mountains. So it's difficult for a stranger who had never known the terrain to know the way out of the town. There are only 2 ways to enter. One entrance, one outlet. So, but they used some of our own people who are Muslims. They used them to show them the way into the town. This is about 250 churches that were within the town were all burnt down. All destroyed, all burnt down. And so some ran. Those who can run away, they ran. Those who could not, that's how they were killed. So this is brief. And what I intend to do today is for us to draw a lesson from what has happened, from this story that I have just shared with you, the practical one. I will still be making reference to some aspects as we go through the scripture. I would like to read from the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, from verses 32 to 37. Mark chapter 13, from verse 32 to 37. I'm reading from the NIV. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house in charge of his servants, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. When I say to everyone, watch. I would like to use the term be on alert as what we will be focusing on. Be on alert. Now, if I may ask you, English is not my native language, so I don't know what it is in English. So I am happy I am among the English native speakers. So, what do we mean when we say be on alert? What does it mean? English speakers, be ready. Okay. Huh? Pay attention. All right. Watch. Okay. That's. Huh? Don't go asleep. All right. Look behind you. Because you don't know what is behind you, so look behind you. Okay? Pray and act. Okay. Now, before we use that term, I want us to look at it from the plain meaning of the word, the way you think about it, what it means to you when the word be on alert is used. We will come to that. But I want us to look at the plain meaning of the word. Now, here, there are two words that I used which are synonymous. That's on verse 33. Be on guard, be alert. Then, this is the description. This is how we understand what it means to be on alert. What of be on guard? What does it mean? Oh. Stand ready. Okay. Make yourself ready. All right. Huh? Okay. Okay. Be armed with weapons. All right. This is the word Jesus used for us as believers. Now, let me reflect back on what happened in my hometown. I think my people were not on alert as expected. They relied so much on the human strength. For the past 7-8 years, what Nigeria is passing through was aired out by the Muslims. The plan had been long, and the Christians knew. But they said one thing which had been a problem to them to take over Nigeria as they wanted in their plan. Let me digress a little before I will continue with this. All of you heard about Gaddafi of Libya. You heard about him. And before his death, he was to come to Nigeria to come and commission a mosque. That was in the year 1999. Only for him to discover that that was the day that a chapel was also commissioned in the presidential villa. So he asked those who invited him that, you said Nigeria is a country that is Islamic, it's a Muslim nation, Muslim dominated. But what am I seeing that, look at what is happening in the presidential villa. He could not perform his activity or what he came to do at that time. He went back frustrated. Now, to follow up what had been going underground, he publicly came out to say in 2011 that Nigeria should be divided into two. All Christians in the north, in the northern part, should leave their native homes and migrate to the south, where the Christians are more dominated. And then the north will be for the Muslims. He made that prediction. And he had been given a lot of support for that to happen. But somehow he died. So his mission was not accomplished. But they said one thing in 2011. They said the prayers of believers is so strong that it makes them weak and they cannot carry out what they want to do. That has been a statement that they had been using on and on and on. Now, coming back to what had happened that I said, I will come back to it. My people relaxed. The military, they saw the military around them. And so they forgot about prayers. They forgot about what had been the great weapon. They were not on alert, as Jesus said that they should be on alert. Second thing I want to mention here is, I was so happy during the Bible study. It was mentioned by our Bible study leader. No word of Jesus that will go without what? Being fulfilled. Now I want to take it on the literal term. If there is an act of sin, God will not overlook that sin. He will only overlook it when there is true and genuine repentance. I had some difficulties to come to terms with what had happened to my people. This is almost 85% of the population are Christians. Have they not been praying? I asked myself. But the Lord spoke to me because I questioned God a lot. God spoke to me that my people have not heeded to my voice. It means the church of God had been like a kind of posture. You know what a posture is? So, that is what the church had been there. People have not taken their faith seriously. They engage in little sin. And that made God unhappy. I took 1 week to pray, to ask God, because I was perceiving, foreseeing the danger that was coming to engulf the place. I took 1 week here praying and fasting for my people. Lo and behold, the town failed. I went back and I asked God, I cannot believe. People had been praying that God keep these people safe. Yet, it could not happen. But at the end, I discovered that something was wrong with the life of the children of God. Do not rely on, hey, we have a church, we have where we will go and pray. No. Our individual life matters a lot. Pastors were having a kind of rivalry among them. Do I call it rivalry or jealousy? Because my congregation is bigger than this, and so I see myself as a big pastor. No, it's not your congregation. That's for the Lord. Because I ride in the most expensive car in the town, and so I have arrived. No, you have not arrived. Then, where is the big congregation today? Where is the expensive car today? All have vanished. So, I saw that as what had happened, which led to the failure of the entire town. They failed and the whole town crumbled. Many died. Be on alert. Be on your guard. As we are here, the people of God, the church of God, their own has happened. I ask someone to read Revelation for me. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 to 17. I want to say something about that. Revelation 17, 7, 9 to 17.
After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language. Standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb, they were wearing the robes, white robes, and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen, praise the Lord, praise and glory, and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength to be our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he answered, "These are they who have come out for the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of water, springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes."
Amen. These are the ones that have passed through great tribulation. For those who had gone, those who had died, in my hometown, in what had happened, they have seen the great tribulation. They were caught and were slaughtered. As they were slaughtered, their blood dropped into a pan, which they used as a form of initiating others. I don't know how many of us can bear to see that. I don't know how many of us can run. I decided to walk from Damascus Gate this morning to the church. Oh, from there to this place, it's not easy. I sweated. I rested 2 times on my way coming, despite the fact that it was still an early hour morning walk. Randall Booth can tell us more. Do you find it easy when you walk? Because I heard that you are on a walking. Is it easy? You use an English word. It's not bad. Isn't it? But if you will have your way, you will not want it that way. But these were people running for their lives. It's not something to say one should experience it. God forbid that we experience such. But for them, they have passed through the tribulation. I would like to leave us with this question. How alert are you? How watchful are you as a believer? In the whole of this deception, complicated issues are all going on. Deception in the sense that the social media or the media reports, they don't want to call it persecution. They will say gunmen. That's the name they give them. They don't want to say this is between the Muslims and the Christians. No. They will say, oh, it's because of corruption. All right. Yes, I agree. I agree there is corruption. But if we are talking of corruption, one AK-47 is very costly. I don't know how to shoot. Nor do I know how, what the deal of arms is. But these ones that are having these weapons are more than what one can think. Okay, if you are accusing the government for corruption, who is the most corrupt? Where do they get the money to buy these arms? This is a question. How do they get the money? If the government is corrupt, it means the local man has no money. But these ones that are having the guns, a bunch of people that are illiterate that has not even known how to use the gun appropriate. There is a drum of serious religious war in Nigeria. We don't know whether it will stop or not. But as of yesterday, the entire country is on tension. The Christians are saying, we cannot watch this to happen. We have to arm ourselves. The government has failed us. And the hands of the president is tied because he is a Christian, and if he comes out, then he will be accused. The human right, or what we call them, is the mouthpiece of Islam in the world. If you turn around to say something else, they will interpret it in a different way. But what baffles me a lot is, the people you find walking in this type of places are, if you hear their name, they are either John or Daniel or Sarah. What is happening to your faith? Why do you sell your faith for the money you are paid? This is a big question. But one encouraging thing that I heard, my people have vowed never to vote for a Muslim. They will better experience death than to give their vote to a Muslim. They will not turn back. They will not deny Jesus in the face of pains and difficulties. So the Lord is still marching on. Be on alert. This has happened thousands of miles, kilometers away from us. We are here, but we don't know how it will look in our own situation. Let's be on alert. I want us to reflect as she will give us this song, and we can also join her to sing together.
Brother Manuel has asked for the song, the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the loose the grime, whose brightness